You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
We have a special guest with us, Robert Flores, a good friend, Robert and Didi. We have been together through life for the last over 40 years. We've just hung out together, raised family together, been in ministry together. You know, it's always weird when you're introducing one of your best buddies in the world. There's so many things I could say that I won't say. Yeah, you're welcome. But he probably will. He'll probably say them. So, Robert and Didi, we're so thankful for your faithfulness in our lives, friendship with Annette and I, and with this church body. It's really been a blessing. And so, would you just welcome Robert Flores? Would you do that?
What happened to our picture? Well, good morning. Man, I looked over here and I saw they still let the OG types, the old original gangsters, take the offering. I said, I don't understand that, but Ron, I guess, knows what he's doing. All right. Well, it's really, really good to be back in the Northwest. I mean, it's good to be back here at Canby Foursquare. This church has lived in Didi's in my heart for decades now. Didi and I planted West Salem Foursquare Church just down the road in 1994, and we pastored there for 14 years. And those were the greatest ministry years of our life so far. And now we've moved back. We're just up the road in Puyallup Foursquare. And so it's really, 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 really good to be here. I'm honored that Ron and Annette would ask us to come. You know, I got to say, though, short trips, just any kind of trip, I'm a really lousy packer. Packing is very stressful for me. I think, okay, 3 days, I'm going to be gone 3 days, okay, I need these shorts, but what if I go out at night, okay, I need this sweater, okay, these shoes just in case, and then, you know, I really like this shirt, I really don't need it, there's no place I can wear it, but I better take it just in case, and before you know it, I got three times more stuff than I need, and I'm going out the door on this short trip, and that's before I even start working on my toiletries. Like, I got a buddy, Glenn Burris, guys travels all the time. I mean, every time I look at Facebook, I'm off to India, off to Sri Lanka, off to Brazil. How does he do it? He's got to have it wired. It's just got to always be there ready, real tight, and boom, and there he goes. Because, man, if he went through that stress all the time, you just couldn't do it. Now, the only redeeming reality in this thing I got is my wife, Didi, that she is so much worse at it than me. It gives me hope. It gives me joy. I mean, whenever we travel, she packs pants and shorts and fur snow boots, and she packs for every occasion, and then the shoes, and more shoes, so many shoes. I remember when we were young and broke. Now we're old and broke, but when we were young and broke, we did this trip to Europe where we kind of backpacked Europe and stayed in the cheapest places that we could on Europe on $5 a day, which is a lie. But anyway, we had this book. And I remember she packed for any contingency. I think she had an outfit in there in case the queen asked us for tea. But there was this one pair of shoes. This is a true story. I would never exaggerate. There's this pair of shoes. And no matter how I carried the bag, it always hit me on this right bone on my ankle. No, I could carry the bag on my head, it would hit me in that. It took months for that ankle bone to heal up. Now, the reason, though, that I'm okay with this thing that Didi has, that if we're traveling and I need anything, she has it. Babe, you got a power drill? Yeah, right here, babe. Yeah, you got any duct tape? Here you go. Here you go. Here. Compressor? Right here, little one. Okay. So it's wonderful. It's got a bright side. Now, Ronnie and I, we used to travel a lot together. We were on boards together and on task groups and all this stuff. And here's something weird about traveling with Ronnie and rooming with Ronnie. Ronnie likes the temperature in the room at night between 39 and 43 degrees. It is the freakiest thing I've ever seen in my life. One time we were traveling in North Carolina. We were there for some meetings, a.k.a. golf. We were there for some meetings, and we were rooming together. First time in a long time I had roomed with him. So I was out talking with some homies in the lobby, and so I came back into the room right at bedtime. And I walked in, and I ain't lying, I could see my breath. I could see my breath. I said, what the heck's going on here? Ronnie had the thermostat cranked down and the window cranked. It was 39 degrees outside, about 42 in the room, and a fan blowing. And I mean, he's like happy as a clam, walking around with his sleeping pants and no shirt, singing worship songs. All night, I was afraid to have any part of my body outside the covers for fear of frostbite. I never seen Ronnie so happy. It was the coldest night of my life. Almost as cold as the night I complained to Didi about all her shoes. Anyway, so as I play golf these days with Ronnie at 62 years of age, I remember playing football with him at 18, seeing pictures of us together. And I realized that we're on a journey. We may live someplace for a long time. We may have careers, raise families, put down roots. But in reality, we are all on a moving sidewalk that is inexorably heading towards something really spectacular if we're in Jesus. And don't feel, ooh, life is moving so fast, I can't keep up, I must have done something wrong to let it pass me by this way. You haven't, and it hasn't. It's been like that for every person who ever lived. Every person who has ever lived feels the way you feel about life going so fast and why didn't I grab it more and all. No, everybody's on that same flipping sidewalk. And it's all moving. You're in good company. It's called the human race. Now, the sooner that we accept this reality, I think the happier we're going to be. But like my earlier story, there are good ways to travel and there are not such good ways to travel. There are things that make this journey great and there are things that don't travel well. So on this journey, I want to talk first of all about some things that the sooner we jettison these things, the better. And these three things that I'm referring to are guilt, regret, and preoccupation with stuff. So here we go. Guilt. This is like a low-grade fever that we carry with us. And it starts with thinking that God was surprised or disappointed when we messed up. Do you ever think that God is disappointed with you in what you did? But when we made that horrible decision, that when we returned to that destructive habit, that God was like, why did you do this? Oh, myself, I had higher hopes for you. Now, for God to be disappointed with you, you would have to take away from him one of his attributes, which is omniscience, the fact that he knows everything that there is to be known. You'd have to make God small. But if God knows everything that there is to be known, then he knows everything that went into your decision. You didn't surprise him. You didn't. He knew your tendencies. He knew the situations you would walk yourself into. He knew the setups that you would do for yourself. He's not like, ugh. He knows everything. Now, God does hate sin, but not because he's insecure. You didn't choose my way. How could you? I'm mad. Not at all. I truly believe that one of the reasons that God hates sin for us so much is because he loves us so much. He knows that when we make stupid decisions, when we choose for selfishness, when we choose for sin, it's like drinking poison or a toddler walking around with a razor blade in his or her mouth. I mean, if you had a toddler or a grandbaby and they walked into the room and they somehow had gotten to a cabinet and you see that there's a little razor blade sticking out their mouth and they walk into the room, would you say, "You've disappointed me. You know my rules. My rules are no razor blades in your mouth. And my feelings are hurt because you would choose to go a different way than the way that I've ordained." Are you kidding me? All you would care about, all your heart would burn for, was your deepest care, was the safety of your baby. You don't want that baby walking around with a razor blade in his or her mouth because of the damage that it would do and the potential fatal reality of it. You only want that baby's best. That's the heart of God. He loves us and he only wants our best. So he provided a way out from this sense of guilt that he's built into us so that we can properly ascertain where we are. Guilt is a gift from God. It lets us know that we're tilting, that we're moving into unsafe territory, stuff that is not God's best for us. It's a gift of grace. So he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's what I call a pretty heavy-duty provision. He just didn't go, ting-a-ting-a-ting, and our sin was gone. It wouldn't do it. That would have violated his righteousness and his justice. Sin had to be atoned for. It couldn't just be looked away from. So God himself became sin for us that he might then give us his perfect righteousness. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Or I love Psalm 103:12. "So as far as the east is from the west, that far has he removed our transgressions from us." He doesn't say north and south, because north and south meet at the North Pole and the South Pole. He says as far as the east is from the east and the west never meet. That far has he separated our sins from us. In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Yeah, guilt is a real thing. But it's a gift from God that we can know, moving into less than his best for me. And he's given us provision, forgiveness in his son, that we can let that go. It was very costly, but it's there. We can let that go. We don't have to carry guilt with us on our trip. It doesn't travel well. We need to get rid of guilt as a traveling companion in our own way. But what it looks like in these scriptures, and what I would encourage you to consider doing, is every morning, treat these scriptures like a shower. Get rid of anything that you've accumulated during the day, any sense of that kind of heaviness. Lord God, drench me again in your grace. Help me walk today in wisdom and in freedom. Another debilitating traveling companion, I believe, is regret. This once again, it's a low-grade fever that we seem to just carry right under the surface. If only I had not quit school. If only I had listened to my parents when they warned me about him. Right, Didi? If only. Now, we all have decisions that we regret making, or decisions that we regret not making. But the tragedy comes when we are driving into our future with our eyes firmly on the rearview mirror, with only an occasional glance into the windshield to see what's ahead, but then we refix our eyes on the rearview mirror. If you drove your car that way, it would end in disaster. And when we live our life gripped with regret, then our life grows to be so much less than it could be. We have to completely flip that by an act of our will, which is a gift from God. It's a reflection of His image, our ability to do this. We need to flip that script. And now we need to occasionally glance in the rearview mirror of our lives, but keep our eyes steadily on the windshield where we're headed. Occasional glances into the rearview mirror, like when you're driving, are healthy. You glance back and adjust your speed, especially if you see a cop. You glance back to see if there's anything, any decisions you need to make here. If you know you're going to get over a lane in the next half a mile, it's good to look in your rearview mirror to begin to accommodate that change. Yeah, you want to look back into your life and refer to your rearview mirror once in a while. But where you live is looking forward. You cannot change the past. It is completely impossible to change it. It is gone. There isn't anything you can do about it. And the future is not here yet. All you have control over is right now. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? That's what's important. And here's another thing. One of the magnificent things about God is that He takes it all, even the things we regret, and use them for His glory and His good. If you really want to get, if you want to just have your mind blown about how good God is and what He can do, He can take the most horrible things, the most heartbreaking things, and somehow, some way, take that in His incredible way and meld it into something that can bring good to others. It's absolutely incredible how He does this. I have a young friend. She was like a daughter to me. Her parents are some of our closest friends. And my gosh, she was, they found out later, she was horribly abused by her coach for several years, sexually abused. And it was so horrific. The guy went to prison probably for life or something. Today, Jenna, there's a law called Jenna's Law down in Texas. She is traveling all over the place speaking to young ladies. She's been on national television. She is helping thousands upon thousands of young ladies who did not know anybody could ever help them, anybody who could ever relate to what they're going through. She is bringing life. Now, what she went through is horrible and beyond belief. And my buddy almost killed a guy. If he hadn't killed him, I might have killed him. We didn't, so we're here today. But here's something horrible beyond belief. And yet somehow, well, Genesis chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, this is when Joseph's brothers who had betrayed him came back after their father died, thinking that now Joseph was going to pay them back for the fact that they sold him into slavery after plotting to possibly kill him. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Here's what happens when we let go of regret. Lord, we begin to see our lives this way. Lord, I wrecked that marriage. Lord, I ran that business into the ground. I did this and this and this. But Lord, here I am, broken, humbled, compassionate. What the devil intended for evil, Lord God, You can use for good. Make me a vessel reflecting Your glory. That's what happens. By the way, the scripture says that we carry this glory of God around in earthen vessels. You know what that means? These are broken, cracked vessels. We don't carry the glory of God in these beautiful gold vessels encrusted with jewels. And if we did that, everybody would be tripping on the vessel. The vessel can't do nothing for nobody. The only thing that can help people is what's in the vessel, the glory of God. And so it is through our brokenness, our weakness, our flaws that the glory of God shines to this earth. Since I left West Salem Foursquare Church, my life has been a wild train ride. Dee Dee and I have had to start over 5 times in 10 years, start from scratch. What the heck? That's not the way I scripted it. It has cost me so much. And I can start looking in my rearview mirror, but I refuse to. I refuse to live my life looking in the rearview mirror going, ooh, what if I had done this? What if I had not done this? It would be completely unproductive. What my attitude is, God, I have tried to hear your voice at every turn, maybe perfectly, maybe not. But I do not have the time to regret, and neither do you. Let it go. Look back occasionally, smile, to remember, to honor the amazing people that God has brought into your life, but only to guide you as you look forward to God's future for you. And the third thing that doesn't travel well is a preoccupation with stuff. Now, I like stuff as much as the next guy. Show me some chrome and I get giggly. But when we set our hearts on the accumulation of stuff, it turns to gravel in our mouths. Don't misunderstand me. Save. Get a new grill. Get a new boat. Redo your house. But be careful. Life can become so easily a mission to accumulate stuff. It can almost become an unspoken mission statement. Like our purpose on life is, how do we attain more and more and more and more? And we can find ourselves serving stuff and the accumulation of more stuff. You might ask, how do I know if I am in this situation? I'm going to give you a great barometer, a great thermometer. Like when you check a steak with a nice little thermometer you stick in there, looking for 125, medium rare, perfect. Here's a great thermometer for checking how much stuff is a traveling partner for you. How is your generosity? Your generosity will tell you exactly where you are in regards to whether you possess stuff or stuff possesses you. Now, these are just a few things that I don't feel travel well. Now, here's a few things that I believe travel really, really well. This travels well through life. The character that we form. What really travels well through this crazy 60, 70, 80 years we have on earth is the Christ-like character that we develop. When our character begins to look like honesty, integrity, kindness, humility, a servant's heart, generosity, man, that stuff is welcome wherever we go on the road. And if we're hanging out places where that is not welcomed, or that kind of stuff is ridiculed or penalized, then I think some change is in order. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. God is changing us. Here's something that also travels really, really well. The impact that we've had. Each year at Christmas, I have a tradition. On Christmas Eve, after we've eaten our tamales and chile con queso and the stuff you have too, you know, after we finish our Christmas Eve meal and after everything is wrapped and everything's ready, I always sit down and Dee Dee just lets me do this. I sit down and we watch It's a Wonderful Life every year. And you know, it's a story of George Bailey who said it'd be better if I had never lived. It turns out through an adventure that he has, finds out he had no idea the impact that he's had on this world. I still cry when I see the line written, no man is a failure who has friends. I can think of some of them dark moments in my life where, like, some people that are here today were there. Friends. OG, friends. The story is a powerful one. A whole troop transport has been saved because he saved his brother who saved the hundreds of troops on a troop transport. He had no idea. I know it can seem corny, but your life reflects that movie. You have no idea. And here's what's kind of funny too. You will have no idea until you get to heaven. You have had and are having an exponential impact on your world that is just getting started. That as you press into obedience and being God's man or woman today, that exponential thing just increases. You have no idea. In El Paso, Texas, I was born and raised in a nominally Catholic home. Heaven's going to be full of Roman Catholics. I just wouldn't have been one of them. And I didn't know the Lord. The way I came to know the Lord was a lady who was just a homemaker. The way she came to know the Lord, she had a maid who was just joyous, cleaning the house. Maid from Juarez, Mexico. And this lady, one time maid, shared the Lord with Ceci. Ceci received Christ. I came to Christ as a result of coming to Ceci's house. My entire life trajectory changed, and I've had the privilege of being all over the world, all over the place, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe some people out there have come to know Christ as a result of my life. I hope so. But whatever happens in my life, and whatever happens from those lives as they go forward, and then their lives as they go forward, all of that goes back to a maid from Juarez, Mexico, who shared Jesus with Ceci. She has no idea, if she's still alive, the impact of her life. But it goes on and on and on. And so does yours. One more thing really travels well. The intimacy with God that we discover. And be very careful. Don't let anybody try to tell you that one size fits all on this. There are some people who plow into the Bible and journaling at 5:30 every morning. There are others who have their devotional. They read a page out of the Daily Bread. And that's their feeding for that day. There's people that live in the Word. There's others that eat small meals. I don't know how you do it, but please do it. Nothing is more important in this journey than getting to know God. Look at the poignancy of this moment that is ahead for all who have called on the name of the Lord. Look at this moment headed for you and Jesus in complete intimacy. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of this hidden manna. I will also give him, listen, look what's coming, a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. That there's coming a time when you and Jesus are going to sit down together, and he's going to give you a white stone with your new name written on it, and only you and Jesus know that name. That begins now. Begins this evening as you're getting ready to crash and you spend a few moments telling Jesus how much you love him. Start tomorrow morning when you open God's Word and read and just think through the implications of his word for you that day. That begins this moment of your new name. So what to do? Here we go. Let go of guilt and press into character. Take this daily shower and then press into a walk that is new every day because his mercies are new every morning. Secondly, let go of regret and go all in on impact. Yesterday is gone. There's nothing you can do to change that. But here's what you can change. Being a Jesus person today and loving every person you can with his love. And third and finally, hold things lightly and prioritize his presence. Take a fresh inventory of your heart and the time you focus on the stuff and its accumulation. And then possibly adjust to focus your life to get to know the heart of God. I want to show you a very brief film clip from one of my favorite movies. And it's a story of Oscar Schindler. Been to his grave in Israel, Oscar Schindler, who was a party animal who was connected with all the German, the Nazi hierarchy, and he was a businessman. He was corrupt as the day is long. He was a Gentile, but for whatever reason, he saw what was happening to the Jews, and he went to work to create this almost like a false company that could protect as many Jews as possible. Ultimately, over World War II, he protected 1,000 Jews from the ovens of Auschwitz. At the end of the war, the Germans are defeated. And now his 1,000 Schindler Jews gather to say goodbye to him as he's on his run, because if the Russians get him, then he's in trouble. So he's on the run. And they have a little ceremony for him. I want you to take a look at this. It's only about 2 or 3 minutes long, and then I have a final comment, and we'll be done. But listen to his heart as he looks at his life. Let's see. Whoever saves one life saves the world in time. On a ring. Because of what Oskar Schindler did, 70, 80,000 Jews at least are alive today in the world, the offspring of that thousand group. He felt like we all feel, I didn't do enough, I should have done more, all that. He not realized the incredible waves that went out from his actions. So my challenge to you today is take a fresh appraisal of your life. Identify those traveling companions that maybe you've invited for the journey that aren't doing you any good and get rid of them. I don't mean necessarily people unless it's somebody really goofy, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And then invite in afresh those things that do travel well. Your character, the contribution that you're making, your generosity. And just know that God sees you, God is using you, and there's so much more ahead. And I'm so privileged to be able to take this journey with you. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you, Robert. That's just a really encouraging word, I think, for all of us. Right now, what are we traveling with? What we don't need to travel with, and what we do need to travel with. So be encouraged today. And again, thank you. Thank you for the word. That's just, I'm going to go home and think about that a little more. I want you to do this with me. If you would take a little time, just stand up. Go ahead and stand up. Stretch a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to close now in prayer. We want you to know that we have some folks around the building after the service that would be glad to pray with you, be glad to encourage you. You also have an opportunity to go out the patio. We have pancakes and waffles and eggs to go out there and fellowship, spend time together. This is a day that we are blessed. So let me leave you with a blessing. You have heard and you've been a hearer of the word today. Be blessed as you leave this place as a doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.